This podcast is brought to you by the Specialty Produce Network.
The Specialty Produce app is an educational, expository, live encyclopedia of fresh foods that you can hold in the palm of your hand. Did you know that you can substitute butter with avocado in some baked recipes? Put on your chef's hat and let the application section sprout ideas for culinary quests. Still craving more? We would never leave you with an empty plate. Within the Specialty Produce app, you will find our ever-growing recipe collection of more than 15,000 recipes, where you can build and save your own cookbook for future kitchen endeavors. Stay hungry, friends. Download today on Apple or Android and get things cooking.
Welcome to Conscious Living here at the Specialty Produce Network. We are so glad you're here to support your lifestyle with the fastest growing resource for conscious families. So sit back, relax, connect, and enjoy. Everyone, welcome to Conscious Living. We are here live today. We are so excited for our guests. I have two amazing guests from Florida and Fort Lauderdale area. And I'd like to introduce my friend, my amazing, beautiful friend of a lifetime, Teddy Murr of Ocean Motivation. She created a beautiful website, Facebook page, and community of people enjoying the ocean through stand-up paddleboarding, conservation, and enjoyment of the ocean. Welcome, Teddy.
Hi, Ash. Thank you.
I'm so excited you're here. And would you introduce our other beautiful podcast guest today, Kat? She is amazing, and it is so wonderful to meet her and all the beautiful things she brings to this world.
Okay. Well, you know, Ashley, when you said that our theme for the talk today was saving our coastlines, there is no greater champion that I know of than my neighbor and friend in South Florida, Catherine Uden. She is on the call with us. And just to give you a little bit of background, and then I'll let her kind of take over. She is the Southeast Florida campaign organizer for an organization called Oceana. They are the world's largest international nonprofit that works exclusively on ocean conservation through policy advocacy.
Wow.
Yeah. She's extremely proactive on a lot of fronts. So she'll talk a little bit more about that. Their focus is to stop things that are affecting the ocean environment, like offshore drilling, seismic air gun blasting, reducing plastic pollution, protecting our nation's fisheries, and banning shark fin trade, and also defending the Marine Mammal Protection Act and saving the North Atlantic right whale.
Wow. So
before working for Oceana, because she does this now on a full-time basis, but prior to that, I was always a very big fan because she is such an advocate of the ocean, and she's also the mother of two boys. And I'm so impressed with how she continuously introduces nature, environment, and just the serenity and sanctity of the ocean and ocean sports, especially paddleboarding. So she used to be a teacher before going to work full-time in ocean conservation, and she believes in appreciating the ocean and helping inspire people, you know, to take care of our waters, but also to enjoy them, you know? So our theme, saving the coastlines, we couldn't have a better perspective.
Wow. Kat, please tell us about yourself. I mean, what an introduction. Thank you, Teddy. That was so amazing. And I'm inspired too. I'd love to get to know you even deeper and more. Wow. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. And Teddy is amazing. She has so much energy and we both love the ocean. We met through stand-up paddling, and that's really actually what got me into ocean conservation. So we stand up paddle in Broward County and a lot in Fort Lauderdale. And I would always be paddling the waterways and cleaning up litter and garbage and plastic at the waterways. And it just inspired me to want to go out and do something about it. So I was a teacher at the time. I taught for 15 years in Broward County Public Schools. And I believe a lot in, you know, helping our youth, and our youth is our future. And I was volunteering a lot for an organization called Spider Foundation. I became chair of my local chapter, fighting plastic pollution and fighting for public beach access, trying to stop bad things from happening to the ocean. And I was doing so much of that on a volunteer basis and always felt bad that I didn't have enough time to do that. And it just seemed like a good transition after 15 years of teaching to do it full time. I felt like the ocean needed a lot of defending. And I had a friend named Erin Handy who worked for Oceana, which is the world's largest ocean conservation organization. They were looking for a campaign organizer in Southeast Florida to rally support for our campaigns down in this area. So I applied, and I've been doing that for about a year and a half now. So I work on all of our campaigns. We're just launching a new plastics campaign that I'm really excited about, because again, I've been working on plastics for a long time in this area on a volunteer basis. And I have two boys. I have one in college, one in fifth grade, and we love spending time outdoors. I love taking them on the water. I hope still a good appreciation of the water with them. And I love my job because now I work from home with Oceana, and I actually try to stand a paddle almost every morning on the ocean. And I feel very connected to all the animals that I see. I paddle with manta rays, stingrays, manatees, dolphins, and I just feel so honored to be able to work for Oceana and protect them as my job.
Wow. And that's so amazing. And I agree with you. Stand-up paddleboarding outside of Fort Lauderdale is just amazing. Teddy is taking me on that adventure at dawn, and it is a mystical experience to be out there in the ocean when it's quiet and everything's beginning to wake up and interact, and the pelicans flying in next to you, and all of the sea life underneath you, and the visibility of being some days 300 feet and you can see to the bottom, and it's just amazing. And what an experience that is. And I wanted to ask you a little bit. I think a lot of us are unaware of what are some of the movements about removing the plastics in the ocean? How is that happening on a policy level? What does that look like?
Well, what Oceana is going to be focusing on, you know, a lot of organizations tend to focus on the end of the cycle. You know, what do we do with this plastic when it's out in the ocean? And for those that don't know, we have a lot of plastic in the ocean, including very tiny microplastics that our seafood is eating. So even the tiniest organisms in the ocean are eating this plastic that has photogradated in the ocean into tiny pieces. And it's actually working its way up the food chain into our food if people are eating seafood. And it's a huge problem. Animals are getting entangled in it. They're choking on it. There are whales washing up with plastic in their bellies. So, you know, a lot of people are tending to focus on the end of that cycle. We are going to be focusing on the beginning of the cycle. So Oceana is going to be working on stopping it at its source. So making sure that we are not making all this unnecessary plastic. Plastic production is set to quadruple within the next, I think, before 2050. And the plastic production has gone out of control. We all know that it's bad from the time we extract it as fossil fuels. We produce it, we consume it, it's bad for our health. And we are going to be working on not making that plastic in the first place. So not only asking people to reduce the single-use plastic they use in their own lives, but also asking their local municipalities and their states to take action in reducing single-use plastics, and also asking corporations to give us plastic-free alternatives.
Wow. Thank you. Oh my gosh, that was an amazing understanding of that. And I know people look forward to really hearing that aspect. That is just genuine, amazing knowledge to understand our impact, that when we go to the grocery store, we go to other places, how we buy our products and what it's packaged in does affect the whole entire world and what we do with it. Is there opportunities of the plastic that has been created to resource it in a different way, to recycle it, or to get it out of the oceans? How does that midstream process work now that some plastic has been made already? What can we do individually and then collectively to correct that path of it not going to the oceans?
The unfortunate part about our plastic pollution is actually about only 9% of all plastic that has ever been produced gets recycled. And there's a lot of problems with our recycling infrastructure and our recycling practices in this country. And a lot of people don't realize that we were shipping all of our plastic waste to other nations. So we were shipping them to China. We were shipping it to Malaysia. We were shipping it to these countries that really couldn't handle the amount that we were sending to them. And what was happening was that it was so contaminated because we have these single stream recycling facilities now where you put everything in the same bin. There are people that are putting not only things that don't belong there, but things that are dirty, and all that was being shipped. And once it's contaminated, it really does not get recycled. So if it's dirty, if it's mixed in with things that don't belong, it's not going to get recycled. And those countries were having a hard time getting rid of it. They were also dumping it in the ocean. So what we, what China stopped doing and was end of last year, they said, no more, we're not going to take any more. So all of our recycling was getting backed up. Malaysia was shipping it back to us. So we are in a really tough spot with our recycling. We don't have the infrastructure to handle the amount of plastic waste we create. I know that Broward County, where I live, has terrible problems with this recycling. We don't even recycle glass. It all gets buried in the landfill. So very little of what we use gets recycled. And unfortunately, when you have that recycling, there's a lot of people that kind of get this warm, fuzzy feeling from putting things in the recycling bin, and they think it's not a problem if they use it because it's just going to get magically turned into something else, which most of the time it doesn't. So what we want to do is we really want to focus on the beginning of that cycle, asking corporations to give us plastic-free alternatives. It's very hard to avoid plastic. There's a lot of us that try to avoid it, and it's really difficult to avoid. Everything's packaged in plastic. So asking corporations to make a change, give us some plastic-free choices, asking restaurants to go plastic-free, flights to go plastic-free, and just making that switch to a less disposable society. So even asking places to offer us things that are reusable.
That is so beautiful. Thank you for that understanding. Now it makes a lot more sense, right, is to reduce our consumption at the point of purchase.
On an individual level, you know, I mean, I really applaud just the messaging that Kat puts out into the marketplace relative to not only the work she's doing, but the ways to put pressure at the largest sources, as you said, corporations, but also our government and advocacy and making sure that people are educated. I know I've seen you post messages before, Kat. Now, don't just complain about it. You know, posting something on Twitter or Facebook is not going to be enough. We need to actually change the laws regarding it. And the role that we can play to speak to our councilmen, to speak to our congressmen, to really attack it at a broader scale with professionalism and perseverance. But on a smaller level, I think just being aware, Ashley, of just not taking plastics to the beach. You know, because I go down to the water like Kat does, you know, almost every morning when I'm in town, you know, I just see so much garbage on the water. People bring shopping bags, people bring forks and knives, people bring plastic bottles, and they leave them, you know. So one small rule of thumb that I always try to adhere with is to always leave the beach with a minimum of 3 pieces of pollution, 3 pieces of garbage. And generally that is plastic. Now and then it's paper, but not often. So whenever I'm there for any reason, always take at least 3 pieces. And, you know, when you look at the multiplier effect, if there's 100 people at the beach, that's 300 less pieces of garbage out there, you know. So just an awareness, you know, kind of on a local level.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's definitely Go ahead. Sorry, it's a 3-prong effect. So it's going to take individuals, it's going to take corporations, and it's going to take government to take action. It's going to be a collective effort, definitely as individuals. And as a mom, I teach my boys to always bring their reusable things. So they always know to bring a reusable bottle. They never drink bottled water. We don't use plastic shopping bags. When we, you know, when we go places, we bring our own utensils, our own takeout containers. So we try as much as possible to not create waste. And, you know, that's a big message. And it's something great to teach kids from the beginning, because if they get into that habit when they're young, they're going to have that habit forever. Absolutely. My son is almost 11 years old, and we gave up plastic shopping bags before he was a year old. So he's never seen us bring plastic shopping bags into the house. He's not used to seeing that. When I have friend offer him bottled water, he says, oh, no, thanks. We don't drink bottled water. So, you know, he's in a really good habit. And if we just did that from an early age, we could really, you know, decrease so much waste in the world. It starts out young.
Yeah. We really could. Yeah, and they're the role models for other people too, to take that in.
Exactly.
You know, attitude affects behavior, and behavior affects your habits, right? So it all starts with that, you know, an education and an awareness and your attitude about it all and understanding the severity of it. And then that will modify behavior, which then, you know, will become a habit and hopefully one that's widespread.
Yeah, and I think
And kids have been part of the movement too. We've had some great kids groups and some youth that have been so motivated by this after they learn about it that they start writing letters to their mayor and to their city commissioners saying, can we pass some sort of local ordinance that asks stores to reduce their plastic or use reusable things? Or can we write to the governor and ask him to reduce plastic bags? So, you know, if we teach kids and they become really passionate about this and they want to save the animals that are in the ocean, they're going to become activists and they're going to help change their world. So that's really, really important.
Absolutely. And, you know, Teddy and Kathy, you both mentioned the idea of picking up individually. We can pick up things on the beach. And I think it was amazing to see in Hawaii, especially on the windward sides, of all the garbage that gets washed up from the Pacific garbage patch. And it is amazing to see even microscopic or little pieces of plastic. And I don't think I came into the realization that it actually gets into the food process of the fish and the animals in there. Those, even those micro pieces or smaller pieces. So any piece of plastic, no matter how big or small, to pick that up and to know that that's impacting the ocean in that way is really valuable. I think we think when it gets down to a microscopic level, it doesn't bother anybody anymore, but that's just not true. So thank you for sharing that aspect. And, you know, one thing that was really fascinating, and Teddy, you posted on your Ocean Motivation page in Facebook, which was really amazing, was a time you went down with your company and you went down to Mexico and you wanted to create seagrass and help save the coastline from a hurricane. Would you share more about what that was and what that's about? And how people can do that.
So I, you know, I travel a lot. I do have a day job. I work for a technology company, and it takes me literally to resort areas within my region of all of Latin America, all of Caribbean, all of Florida.
So, which is a lot of coastline.
It is. Yeah. So I try to parlay my passion for the water and ocean motivation into the exposure that I have in certain areas, as well as a spirit of volunteerism. You know, so there's a number of groups out there that actually kind of have an interface with the tourism and hospitality industry, because, you know, it is tourism and it is beaches that really draws a lot of visitors to an area. And when those beaches are negatively or adversely affected, then, you know, we have to band together to try to make it better. So in the case of, it was actually not in Mexico. Actually, it was in Mexico Beach, which is just south of Panama City. Wow. One of the areas that was hit last year by Hurricane Michael. So the townships in that surrounding area were severely affected by hurricane. I mean, flattened basically. And Mexico Beach specifically is a beautiful, small coastal community where almost, you know, 100% of their buildings lost their roofs, came apart. Then it was really drastic. But then there was a lot of beach erosion with that as well. So in order to protect the embankment, a crew of us that were actually at a hospitality conference got together to replant the sea oats, which will help with beach erosion. And that rather environmental change that occurs after a bad storm. So that's what that was about. I work with an organization called Tourism Cares, and they set up recovery, relief, and a lot of times it's environmental, and just actions and groups to make sure that we are helping communities environmentally to recover. We did the same after Hurricane Maria and Irma in the Keys. You know, we went down to replant some of the areas, the botanical gardens, some of the areas, the you know, the shrubbery that is there. It's all part of the ecosystem down in the Keys. So we went down and did a lot of replanting there, as we did one year in Virginia Key, right here in Miami. Just a replanting of shrubbery and trees to make sure that the environment's robust.
Wow. That's just amazing. So kids and parents have the opportunity to connect with these organizations to, so on their vacation in a coastal destination, they can contribute that way. That's really beautiful.
Yeah. And, you know, the best way to source that would be through the local visitor and convention bureau. You know, most tourism offices have information on their sites, not only about the history of an area and things to do and places to stay, but also how we can give back. You know, there is a little bit of a groundswell of what we call, you know, voluntourism, right? Which is taking a holiday, but actually doing something charitable and giving back a little bit to a community. So there are a lot of opportunities out there. Usually the CBB, the local tourism department or tourism development council will have information on that.
That's really beautiful. What an amazing opportunity people can do on their vacations together as a family and really create that volunteerism, especially if we're busy in our everyday lives. And maybe sometimes that's challenging to do in our area, that we can do it in the other areas and really give back to all the communities around the world. Thank you for sharing that information and how they can connect.
Yeah, you know, and on a local level, Kat, you could probably speak to some of the beach cleanups that you participate with your family. Can you, any reference on, you know, what you've seen sort of locally for family engagement?
Yeah, I think it's a great way to get kids out there to see what's in their environment and the problems that it's facing. So when I take my son I take him to the beach, he gets really excited about cleaning up plastic. And he always says, look, I saved a sea turtle. So if he's plastic up out of the ocean, he says, look, I saved 7 sea turtles. So he gets really, really excited about that. He understands the impact of plastic. And that's really the first step. That was my gateway to activism, was doing cleanups. So that's a great way to get kids into it. And then hopefully they will take that one step further.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you all so much for sharing today and the ways that you shared, and knowing that we can clean up our messes by noticing what we're buying as a consumer and change that those buying habits, and then how that impacts our environment from our buying habits. And then also knowing when we're on vacations, when we're in our communities and areas, we have the opportunity to volunteer. And like you said, Teddy and Kathy, we can connect to these tourism boards and other bureaus that can help us learn how to give back to the community that we're in. So, so beautiful in saving our coastlines and saving our oceans and really appreciating it. Thank you both so much for joining us today. Would you like to share anything with the audience before we complete our podcast today?
I want to say thank you so much for having me and Teddy for telling me about this podcast. Teddy is so wonderful, and we just love the ocean. Get your kids out into nature and get them appreciating what we have and what we need to protect. And if you want to find out more about Oceana, in the United States, you could go to usa.oceana.org, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and learn about everything that we're doing.
Wow.
Yeah. And I would just like to really once again commend Kat, you know, for all of the work that she's doing. She's truly a role model for us. And also just remind every listener that, you know, you want to have a respect for the ocean, but not a fear of the ocean. And if we all work together to protect it and to enjoy it and to be sensible and educated, it's just going to be a better world all the way around. And that's why I have ocean motivation. My mantra is be empowered. And that means empowered to try new things. It means empowered to overcome any fears or intimidation you might have, and also empowered to make a difference.
Absolutely. Everyone, go out, enjoy the ocean, and be a part of our world to making it the place we choose to create every day. Thank you all.
Okay. Aloha.
Thanks. Aloha. Thank you all for listening to this podcast. We are so grateful for you tuning in and experiencing the innovations and opportunities we all can incorporate into our daily lives. Connect with us at centerforconsciouskids.com to sign up for the latest news that showcases these revolutionary services and products. Our global website provides families with an online conduit for enrichment and transformation in all our lives. Please share with other kids and families who would enjoy these advancements in living consciously. I'm Ashley Lee, and I thank you so much for joining us.